Welcome back
to NPR's Cracking the Spine.
Episode 39. I'm here in Doylestown sipping on tea with my friend Josh.
We need like a fire.
And I'm Zane.
Zane's here as well.
I'm the sound effects man. I'm Jackie the joke man Martling.
He wasn't a sound effect guy.
What was he? Joke man.
He was a joke man. Yeah, Fred Norris did the sound effects.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. And that's all we ever need to talk about Howard Stern
it's been on this podcast.
It's
been 16 years since 1999.
Since relevancy. So here we are, 39 episodes in.
What's 39?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask. There's a middle grade series called The 39 Clues.
Pick a different one.
All right. If we did 13 episodes, we would have done three of them.
Oh my God, you blew my mind.
That's all I got.
Isn't that your age?
And I'm 39 years old.
Duh, you idiot!
I forgot. That's a good one, Zane.
Thank you.
Seriously, all week, I'm like, well, there's 39 clues, and if they ask me for another one, it's 3 times 13.
I think there's 39 chambers in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Is there?
I get 36.
One for every year I've been alive, plus three more.
Illuminati. Confirmed.
All right. Take a little break.
We didn't do all the things.
Zane, what are you reading?
I finished Abomination, finally.
And it really turned around at the end for you, didn't it?
No.
Oh man, I don't think that the listening audience could hear that face Zane just made. It was very much a no.
It wasn't a bad book. It just wasn't great. Also, some of the stuff towards the end where she's like, "How did you do that?" And he was like, "God works in mysterious ways." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? That's what we're going with?"
He's not saying anything.
It just wasn't
was the point. The point was that God works in mysterious ways. There was an undertone of religion to the whole story.
Yeah.
That's how, I mean.
Also, like, at the end, they were like, "There's no villain. Guess we'll create one out of a character that you knew already who really wasn't that bad in the first three quarters.
No way! He was a total villain the whole time!
No, he wasn't a villain
the
whole time.
It's like
The
Watchmen.
He was
they
like kind of a dick, but then
end.
It was like, well, he's like our dickiest character. Let's like
yeah,
play
make
him
it
up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like it was
know.
Like, okay.
I know what you're saying.
You didn't read it. What do you hate what you're saying?
I agree with all of it.
So have you picked anything else up, or are you just
no.
too scarred after me giving you the worst novel ever?
I can't think of anything that I want to read. I feel like I'm burned out on reading now.
Wow, that's an interesting. I was there a few weeks ago.
Like I don't know. Like,
I'm reinvigorated these past couple of days. So
I need something new.
All right,
Sean, what are you reading?
I can't remember if I had started it last week or not, but I'm reading a book called The Children's Home.
I think you mentioned it.
I think I did too. Yeah. Okay. Very like, it's sort of unveiling what it's about as you're reading it. Like it's got this very like fairy tale fable kind of feel to it, but there's this guy who's been in some sort of disfiguring accident, but we don't know what it is, who may or may not live alone, and children just start arriving at his estate home.
Okay.
It's eerie. It's got this very like Neil Gaiman. His name. His name is.
Just edit it in. Sean, future Sean, edit it in.
I'll get it at the break. I can't remember. So I'm reading that, and it's good. I mean, it's very enjoyable. I'm like, I really want to know what's happening,
okay.
But I'm not burned out, but I haven't had a lot of free time to read.
Yeah.
So I'm really only getting like a half hour when I'm at the bookshop during my break.
Yeah.
So it's very
and
like,
you read it in your
sporadic.
Break.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why? I can't read when I'm working.
I would.
I can't. I work.
No.
There's work to be done.
There's plenty of time to read. There's always time to read. And always room for Jell-O.
Speaking of which, Josh, what are you reading?
I'm still reading that book, The Fold. The Fold.
So
I'm almost done.
3 weeks in, but there's always time to read.
I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I'm trying to finish it. I'm almost done. I kind of hit a wall with it, and I kind of got, like, really bored of it. I kind of was like, all right, okay, go. Let's move. Please go. And I know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to end, but I know I saw what I just read was going to happen. I know there's no proof of that because I didn't say it before I read it, but I saw it coming.
Okay. You're trying not to say spoilers, though, right? Because
I don't want to ruin it for anybody, because, I mean, I would say read the book.
Zane, would you say read Abomination?
Yeah.
She's such a liar.
I'm not a liar. I didn't hate it. It just wasn't... I expected to fall in love with it, and I didn't. And
I may have to go back to the archives to listen, but I don't think it's ever taken you this long to finish a book that is
it
has
330 pages.
Wow. So it's not like I like couldn't get through it.
It was too hard for her.
Here we go.
After this short break on Craig and Spy.
I'm just teasing again.
Go to hell.
All right. I acquired a book this week that I'm fairly proud of.
Did you get it from one of your many inside trader information dealers?
No, I paid for this one. This one.
Oh my god! You stooped to the level of a human being, and you paid for a book.
Plebe.
I thought you were good at books.
I know. But
what is it?
It's Berkeley Breathed, who created Bloom County,
okay,
and Opus the Penguin and Bill the Cat, and like all the characters therein. I have all five of the volumes of the complete Bloom County. So I was like, cool, done, got everything for him. But then he just published a couple weeks ago, when he was in college at the University of Texas, he did a comic called
The Longhorns.
That's right. Called Academia Waltz.
Josh, like, said that at me.
Because you needed to know.
I don't.
By the way, it's the mascot of
it
the school.
It went directly out of my brain.
They have an actual
What are we talking
cow.
About?
They have a longhorn cow.
So it's a book of all of the comics he did in college that were published in the University of Texas newspaper that have been like out of print forever.
That's cool.
So it's the first edition, so it's added to my Bloom County collection. So for a minute I was like, all right, cool. Now finally I've got everything.
Yeah, but now it's...
He's writing it again.
Yeah.
He's writing it again on Facebook. So thanks, Berkeley Breathed. That
Damn.
Is your real name.
I don't think it is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Weird.
Yeah.
You think he got shit for going to University of Texas Longhorns for that goofy-ass name? I do.
Probably. But it was the 70s, so you know, man.
Yeah, there people were still like, oh, I'm just reading The Joy of Sex.
Right. Hey, you hairy girl, come on home.
You want to have some armpit sex? That's in the book.
All right, yeah, now I think is a good time.
Now is a good time to segue to our next segment.
We'll be right.
What happened to the NPR thing?
I never did that.
No. I'm Josh Henderson.
We were saying last names on the show now?
We are allowed to.
Now people are going to know who you are.
Seriously.
Man.
Follow me at Henderson1983. Plug it away, boys.
Yeah, because you need more Twitter followers.
Interestingly, Josh is your middle name, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Isn't your first name Hollywood?
Nice.
Right?
Nice callback.
I didn't see that one coming. I didn't. Sounded like I was being sarcastic, but I didn't.
What is your middle? Oh, I know what your middle name is. I'm not going to say it. Okay. All right. Anyway, so let's talk about something.
Let's talk. What are we talking about this week? You kind of brought it up earlier with your obsessive collections.
Fair enough. Actually, yeah. That's pretty good.
I was going to segue for you, but I let you talk because I like you.
That's a pretty good segue. We were going to talk about. We were talking earlier in the week about. It started with television, right? Mm. We were talking about...
Well, you were looking for a new drama to binge watch.
Possibly.
And we gave you 70
Possibly.
Of them, and you shot them all down.
Yeah, and I've given it some thought, and I know why that happened.
Because you were cranky, and you didn't have your food in your belly.
Obstinate.
I don't do cranky.
No, not at all.
Not even
Never.
In... No.
It's not a setting for me.
No.
Well, cranky might be on, like, the ascension to angry, but for you, sometimes it just goes normal enraged.
It's not enraged.
Not
it's
enraged.
Just...
The cranky is a much steeper incline sometimes.
You know, my wife listens to this show. She's going to call you guys out for this. I don't get cranky.
All right. I know your wife.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was the question of binge watching versus binge reading. So the idea that, like, you watch, like, you know, 50 episodes of a show on Netflix in a row. Obviously hyperbole. But
not really. Not easy to do. All right, Melissa.
and reading all of the works of a given author.
What's the difference, right?
Well, I
think there's a huge difference.
There's got to be, but I can't place where it comes from. When I find an author I like, read everything. I read everything they've written, mm-hmm. which is why it's so hard for me for every once in a while to figure out what I want to read next, because I've read everything by the people I like.
I've never done that.
You've never read everything by an author?
Oh, maybe once I did. Maybe like some Brad Warner stuff I did. But like, I don't know, because I think like books are written differently on purpose. Like a lot of books are very different, even though they're written by the same. Right, yeah. And I think like TV shows are written committee-wise, right? So there's like a lot of writers on TV show, and they always want to keep that like style. So
interesting.
I don't know. But there are shows that I love that like the writer and the creator of that show went on to make like a shitty show that I hate.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah,
Ballers.
Sure. Who's the maker of Ballers?
I think the guy who did Boardwalk Empire does Ballers.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Astounding. Yeah,
that's crazy.
But you liked Boardwalk Empire.
I love Boardwalk Empire.
Because I a lot of people I've talked to did not really care for Boardwalk Empire.
Who have you talked to, and why are they idiots?
All right. Well, my wife.
Idiot, number one.
Well, she married me, so I think that goes without
saying.
Super
idiot.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Hey, now. That's my sister, and I quite like her.
She makes me cookies.
I quite like her, too, but she
and
married
she is
an idiot.
Not an
I don't
idiot.
Know about you guys, but I love her more than both of you.
She does make you cookies.
Last week's show dedicated to 38 special, this week to Paige. Zane, where do you come down on it?
Well, I was thinking about it, because I, like, love binge-watching stuff on Netflix. Like, I love it. I love finding a new show. Although finding, like, a new show is that you really get into is... can sometimes be difficult.
Especially on Netflix. It's not the greatest.
Well, yeah. But I don't always... I was trying to think of authors where I'm like, I have to read all of this. Like, it's always good. And there's not a lot of authors out there that I feel that way about. And I was thinking about how the first thing that popped into my head was... a lot of times, I did this with bands, too. I'd be like, I love this band, because mm-hmm. I love one album. And then you listen to other stuff, and you're like, it's
not
the same. Like, it's just not the same. And that's how I feel about books, is, like, I'll get really, what I think is really into an author, and then I'll read a couple of books that maybe don't mesh as well. And I was like, that doesn't happen
with
TV
shows, right?
Except that it does, because...
Did you hear that flipperoo?
And she gave it right to Josh's face, too.
I was like, you know, that's not a thing with TV shows. But then I realized that it is, because a lot of times TV shows end up, like, jumping the shark.
Oh, yeah, they
after,
get,
like,
crazy.
The fifth or sixth season, and you just can't
go
watch
more than
them
four
anymore.
Seasons. Four is the magic number.
Sometimes you can get, like, five.
You can, right, maybe squeeze out a fifth turd.
Depends. It depends.
It depends.
Animated shows are different.
Yeah.
There's a different expectation, a different lifespan.
You know, a lot of these shows, like, you watch and you love them, even if they're terrible, and then you get to, like, the fifth, sixth season, and it's just too much, and they've been doing the same shtick for too long.
I felt that way about Parks
and
Recreation, where I was like,
that
all right,
last
I'm
season, I
kind of done. I'm kind of done now.
When they went into the future, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, there with it, but I don't like stuff like that where they, like, just change characters. Like, they went into the future, and, like, characters I love aren't friends anymore.
Right.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
That's not the universe
lazy.
I want to live in.
I hate binge-watching television.
You're very rare.
And I know what I thought of. I was thinking about it a lot this week.
Mm-hmm.
The only shows that I like to binge watch are shows that I've already seen. Like, this week, I found Cheers on Hulu.
Oh my god, I hate Cheers.
No, you don't. Do you really?
It reminds me of being little. And, like, we didn't have cable, so Cheers was like,
here's the thing. It's super dated, and it's really broad, like, in its writing. But it's really smart. Like, it's a really... great setup for a sitcom. Like, everybody comes into a bar and everybody always talks to the bartender. So set up a series where that's the show.
Yeah.
It always reminded me of that Billy Joel song, and I hate that song.
You see, there's no piano in Cheers. There's no piano in that bar. Well,
also,
there is, but nobody ever plays it.
In
Boston. It takes place in the Allentown of Massachusetts, which is Boston.
No!
Anyway.
Moving on.
So, like, Like, I asked you, I was like, oh, should I watch, like, I keep thinking, like, I really want to watch True Detective, like, the first season.
You gotta
like,
watch the first season.
I'm never going to. I'm never going to.
Dude, you're depriving yourself of...
He's never going to now because... Even if Sean did at this point, out of principle, he'd be like,
No. No, you see that? You said I was going to say the same thing about Mad Max, and I love Mad Max.
You did.
It's the same reason you don't read, Josh, like, in your spare time. Because when I have downtime, like, I need to sort of compartmentalize. Like, I read, or I play Skyrim, or I work on the show. Like,
watch one episode of True Detective, and then wait a week, and then
yes, I do.
Another.
And that's it's what I, and that's possible. Why I said I hate binge-watching shows that I haven't seen. But like Cheers, I watched 6 episodes before I fell asleep. When The Simpsons, they ran every episode of The Simpsons in a row. Dude, I watched like 5 hours of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way like with Futurama. I can just watch
a
million episodes.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I loved The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. I can only watch one episode at a time. I could because I think it's because I'm still wired from my childhood, which was like NBC's Must See Thursday Night and ABC's TGI Friday. It was like half hour of a show, and then a half hour of another show, and then a half hour of another show.
It was like an event,
right? That's event television as opposed to
marathon,
right? Like a marathon or binging. And I know I'm way behind the times on it.
No, I mean I think that that's okay. I think that I think that people sort of like societally are like pressured into like being like binge watchers now because like if you don't watch a show, you're going to get made fun of on a podcast for it. Or if you're not doing a podcast, you can just, in real life, people you know will be like, I can't believe that we just did it to you. We were just like, I can't believe you didn't watch True Detective.
Well, it's water cooler thing. You want to be able to, like, be in the conversation. Yeah. Like, the people that I work with here are all into, like, Downton Abbey. And,
Mike is, I'm going to say he's all of our friend. He is.
Hey, hi, Mike, if you're listening.
Hey, Mike.
Good guy. A little loud sometimes. Probably needs a haircut. I didn't know he watched Downton Abbey.
Yeah, he loves it.
But like,
that doesn't surprise me about Mike.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And like, was it Sherlock? Like,
Sherlock is kind of event television.
The thing about Sherlock is, every episode is a movie. They're all 90 minutes long.
That's Britain, man.
See, Sherlock, I can just because it's 90 minutes. Like, I can just watch one. And that's fine.
That's fine.
Like, that is how I watch that. But I'm kind of the opposite when it comes to television now. I have trouble like week to week, like remaining enthusiastic about a show.
Okay.
So like even if I like it, unless it's like Game of Thrones, like the first couple of seasons when we used to watch them together, like that was exciting, and I could.
We invited
you every time, and you never came.
I never said anything. I just said I wasn't there. I just shook my head. Watched it together is what you said, and we didn't.
That head shake meant a million words.
So did we.
I was looking at Josh when I said.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
I was here.
I have trouble even with shows that I really like, like shows like 30 Rock or Parks and Rec. Like, I love those shows.
Yeah.
I had a lot of trouble staying excited from week to week for an entire season. Enough to remember to, like, even to remember to, like, watch it on my DVR or, like, to tune in at the time. Like, it just... for some reason, I struggle with that, and I feel bad because...
Why do you feel bad?
Especially when, like, 30 Rock was still on, or Parks and Rec was still on, like, they're struggling with ratings and stuff.
Oh,
and
that's it's just because, like, they're on TV.
No, I know, but it's like, you know, I wish I could sit down and watch that show every week and do what they, like, need me to do in order to keep the show in the air, but I didn't really fully enjoy 30 Rock or Parks and Rec until they were on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just watch them, like, watch 3 in a row.
I
think DVR changes the whole thing, too. Like, because I can now do my event television. Like, I don't know that I have to watch Game of Thrones or, like, the shows like Bob's Burgers or, like, you know, I don't need to be, like, it doesn't have to be a TGIF thing where it's like
not, though.
Friday night, 8 o'clock, I'm watching it.
Like, I mean,
I do miss Snick, though.
Snick was great. But even, like, when we watched Game of Thrones, like...
Specify.
When Zane and I and Zane's husband would watch Game of Thrones without Sean, always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We would be like...
That's how it was.
We would be like... The first episode, like, the prior episode would be on, and we'd be like, all right, we're watching it now.
Yeah.
I mean... It's
that sounds like fun.
It was. But like it wasn't like I mean even that like kind of like became not an event though. It became sort of
like it became like an obligation.
Right.
Like, it was like a thing that we had. It was like, are you coming on Saturday for Game of Thrones, you know? especially after a few seasons. Like, the first two seasons, it was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's and do this. But then it was like, yeah.
And that's because there's too many seasons. It just becomes another thing you do, and it becomes, like...
It's an obligation.
An obligation. Yeah. Exactly.
So what are some authors that you, like,
I,
get really nutty, like, you need to read everything?
Oh, I wanted to take a guess. I wanted to take a guess.
I'm sure you guys can name off, like, four of them.
Neal Stephenson.
Yeah?
Yeah. Stephen King.
I would have said Stephen King.
Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman.
Okay. Irvine Welsh.
Joe Hill.
Chuck Palahniuk.
Yeah.
I think Joe Hill is the only... Now, Mick, it's because he doesn't have a whole lot of books right now, but that's the only one that I'm, like... Like, I read Heart-Shaped Box, and I was like, I need another one.
Matt Ruff.
And then I read Horns, and I was like, I need another... When's Nosferatu come out? Yeah, like, yeah, I need it.
Let me just... Like, there's... I know there's more that I'm not remembering right off the top of my head.
I never got that way. I don't know why. I think like, what you said earlier about the music kind of put it in, like, perfect perspective, because it's a time. It's... The media isn't just... the media that it is, it's also the time you're in the moment.
Yes.
You know, and the moment is different.
But that's what I mean. But that's what I'm saying. Like reading an author's backlist, like the stuff that, like, when you, if you find that, like, if you picked up their fourth book as the first one you've read, then reading their three previous, it's like going back in time.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to sort of, like, I love going into that lens, like, let's, you know, how does their writing style compare from this novel to the one that came before it? And then when their newest one is released, it's like, Where are they now? Like, how? Yeah. Like Joe Hill's got a book coming out in April, and I'm like, I can't wait to see how much he's grown. Because Heart-Shaped Box is an amazingly deep, terrifying novel, but Nosferatu is like leaps and bounds past it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I don't know. I don't know that. I mean,
like, in terms of character structure and development,
I don't know.
Fair? Okay.
Heart-Shaped Box is so good. I mean, not that Nosferatu is not good, because it's great, but I don't know that it's like, oh my god, it's so much better because he's such a better writer.
I mean, that movie is pretty bad. The special effects are awful.
Nope. He's the silent film with that guy.
It's from the 20s.
With Batboy.
Josh, could you...
Leave?
Shut up.
It's a fair question.
I feel that way about... Quentin Tarantino, also, like, with movies, like, I'm gonna say something wildly unpopular, I can't go back and watch Reservoir Dogs, like, because...
I was just saying this the other night.
It's not, it's just a worse Pulp Fiction.
I can, see, I don't, I mean, I think it's...
Not that it's bad, but
it's the same, well, it's the same concept that we were just talking about with the books, like, it's, you have to remember when it was made, and the movie, like... The movies that you've seen since it that were influenced by it, I thought you were gonna say that almost every time a new Quentin Tarantino trailer comes out, I'm like, that doesn't look very good. Like the Hateful Eight trailer, I think it looks really silly.
I think it's gonna be great.
I know it's gonna be great. I know it's gonna be great because he's never made a not great movie.
He just doesn't make bad movies.
I mean, Jackie Brown is probably his weakest movie, and Jackie Brown is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
But I can't watch Reservoir Dogs or Pulp Fiction now because I'm so burned out on them.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where, like, every time it was on any cable station, I'm like,
that
I'm
was like when you were in high school, right?
College.
So that,
I was a freshman in college.
So
Reservoir Dogs
was like really like influential and stuff for you. I'm just assuming it was.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, you walk around and you sing that song and you dance all the time.
Yeah.
So especially when it comes to books.
That.
What is it about? Like, I'm just talking over it.
That's fine. Go ahead.
It never happened. when it comes to books and authors, is there, like, what is it that makes you want to binge on an author? Like, just that style? Or, like, is it kind of like, I always feel like it's kind of chasing the dragon. Like, I read a really, really good book, and I'm like, I want more of that, and you don't usually get it.
Yeah.
It is that.
Is it like a collector thing? Like, you need to collect them all?
I need to complete it? I'm now a collector of, like, signed first edition Neal Stephensons, but that's me. Like, that's just, like, something I need to have. But I don't do that with all the, like, not all of the authors that I'm a big fan of do I feel the need to... own
for now
signed first editions, but that being said, I have a pretty extensive collection of signed Chuck Palahniuk first editions. I have a bunch of
Are they valuable?
Probably.
When is your house unlocked?
I have a bunch of Joe Hill like advanced reader copies.
Yeah.
I'm quoted on two of them,
which is cool.
It's pretty cool. I mean, yeah,
could be cooler. Keep going.
Thanks, Zane.
Bam.
She's right. But I think it's more, I mean, I don't think of it as chasing. I actually think that some of Neil's later works are better than his earlier works.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff in between is, but like, you know, the Baroque cycle is amazing and incredible, but Anathem is fantastic too. Mm-hmm. Reamed is sort of a dip, mm-hmm. but even like what happens is, you know, you're chasing that high, but even if you only get some of it, you're still getting some of it.
Yeah, and that's, I think, because like books like Neal Stephenson, like he, I don't know, I've never read those other ones, but he writes different sort of types of stories, right? Like they're sort of different, like,
yeah, but he hits on a lot of the same thematic elements.
Yeah,
like
there's always a lot of, like, sort of espionage-y.
There's always like on. He's always very, you know, like he writes across time, right. And like in different dimensions of existence, but there's always like the themes of like the exchange of information, yeah. And current, like what does currency mean?
Is big, mm-hmm. with him,
and like the idea of gods and, right. religion and like social hierarchy. So like he tells very different stories, but he weaves those same thematic elements, right. through, yeah. it. Same with Stephen King. I mean, Stephen, yes. King, you know, if you're reading a Stephen King novel, at some point there's going to be a big storm.
Yeah.
And during the big storm, there's going to be a huge change.
Yeah.
You know,
fire.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Dairy.
And like Irvine Welsh is going to gross you out.
Yeah.
And Chuck Palahniuk is going to gross you out. Like,
yeah.
And so I think it is, Chasing the Dragon feels like a cheapening of it to me. Like,
well, I just, like, that's how it is for me.
It's like revisiting an old friend. It's like, oh, here you are again. Let's see what you're doing now.
It's like listening to, like, rock and roll from the 50s. You're like, I recognize this as rock and roll, but I wasn't there for it. Like, I don't yearn for that, you know? I romanticize it in my head, but, like, I know rock and roll from when I was a child, and, like, that's what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like just a different, like, it's, like, time-based. It's, like, a very four-dimensional thing, I think. For me, anyway. Like, it's like you can never go home again. There's never going to be that feeling again.
Well, that's
until
what
you find it again.
I think that it is the feeling of going home again. Like every time a new Neil Stephenson book comes out, I'm like, all right, man,
mm-hmm.
here we are. Neil. Good to see you again, Neil. Take me away.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't know. That's why, again,
I feel like I can never, or very, very rarely can I recreate that. Like I read a book and I just love it. And I love the whole experience of reading it. And then I see that author has another book coming out. And I'm like, yes, it's going to feel that way again. I'm going to feel great. I'm going to have that experience again. And it's because it's a different book and it's a different time that,
right.
I'm reading it and everything. It's not the same. And like sometimes it's also a really good book. But more often than not, I'm kind of like, it's not the same.
It's
like I was.
Something's missing.
You were talking about when show creators like create different shows and they have,
yeah.
new shows coming out, and like I'm sorry, but when Amy Sherman Palladino, who created Gilmore Girls, she had a new show called Bunheads, which I was like, I'm gonna watch that, and it was like you could tell that it was Amy Sherman,
yeah.
Palladino, but like
similar but not the same.
It was not the same, like, and you know, problems with that show aside, like
that's what I was going to say. Is it
failing?
Is that on you?
Yes, it's,
yeah,
absolutely,
okay.
on me. Like
you
that's
think so?
That's my expectations. Like
it's
I expect
never my
it to
fault.
Be exactly the same. Well, this is kind of, Josh, you and I have talked about this before.
Mm-hmm. When you guys were watching Game of Thrones?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. holding hands.
Yeah.
okay.
Like when they revive canceled shows.
Yeah, it's just,
you
something,
know, and like you,
yeah.
cannot,
like Gilmore Girls,
recreate,
right,
yeah,
right.
right.
Or Longmire.
That's,
I love Longmire.
But like you can't recreate that magic.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah.
The new seasons of Arrested Development were not the
They're
same.
Not as
nope.
good.
The new seasons of Futurama were not the same.
And it's like when the Gilmore Girls announcement happened, a bunch of my friends on social media were like, maybe Netflix will bring Firefly back next. And it's like,
no, you don't want that.
It's the thing. Like, you think you want it, but you don't.
A, the movie wrapped that storyline, all those storylines up,
yeah.
so beautifully.
Yeah, it's done.
B, he killed off two of the most important characters. And C.
Spoilers.
Well, then I'll encapsulate that with C. It's been 10 fucking years, man. Like,
yeah,
everybody, you know, you can't, Nathan Fillion's not fitting in those tight pants anymore.
Yeah, he's not, yeah, you know, I don't, yeah.
Adam Baldwin has revealed himself to be, a, like, completely a maniac.
A Baldwin
right-winger.
Is crazy.
He's not even
I know,
Baldwin,
but,
yeah.
but it's just the name. It doesn't matter. I could change my name to Baldwin tomorrow, and I'd be like a raging alcoholic Jesus freak. shooting a gun in the air. Maybe I should do it.
Alec Baldwin's okay.
Yeah, but he's crazy though.
He beats the crap out of like.
Yeah, he's a little angry. Yeah,
he's got like anger issues.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He's got a really hot daughter, you know, and he hates when people look at her.
Some people think anger issues are something else, man. It's just
he doesn't get cranky. His cranky
scale. There it is.
Well done.
All right, let's take our break here, because Dave, right. did you hit all your research? We get all your notes.
I didn't do any research. Leave me alone.
Wow. For my birthday episode.
Shut up. We'll be right. Are you so
segment 3. This is my first time doing this segment. I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Sean. Good to have you guys here. It was an enlightening conversation.
We were talking about donuts earlier today.
Beautiful segue, dude. Like, dude, that was flawless.
Did you ever see how I, like, edit stuff? Just blunt cuts. Move to the next part. Let's go. Get it done.
So we had a discussion earlier about donuts. About, like, top five donuts?
Top donuts.
Let's start. Yeah, Josh asked me what my favorite donut was.
What happened was,
narrow it down to just one. I had to give him my top three.
I went to my dinner break, and there were 36 text messages from these two.
Yep.
Hey, man, we were talking about donuts. Donuts, and I wanted some.
Literally all about donuts. That's and then when they both got here to the bookshop tonight for the podcast, nobody brought donuts.
I thought about it, and then I was like,
"I will be
bring
honest.
Them to Zane's for Game of Thrones."
I didn't think about bringing donuts.
I was catty corner to the Dunkin' Donuts, and I was like, "I gotta turn like left," and then I gotta turn into the parking. Ah, fuck it. So no donuts.
So the best kind of donut is clearly the Boston cream donut.
Nope, you're outvoted on this one.
It's not a voting thing.
It is a voting thing. It's 2-1. We win.
Chocolate icing. And Zane doesn't like them, but I like the chocolate glaze.
Ugh,
like the,
that's cake. That's
like a chocolate
donut.
Cake with sugar yes. glazing? Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad
it's
donut.
It's cake. It's not a donut.
It's a bad donut.
You gotta get that, and then you get a chocolate milk, and you... Oh, my mm-hmm. God. Oh.
Mm-hmm. The old-fashioned cinnamon sugar.
See, now that's not bad.
And the apple cider donut.
That's pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm. I like a regular, just plain old...
Yeah, those are good, too.
Old-fashioned donut with a
and
coffee.
And just like the regular, like the plain... donut from Dunkin' Donuts with the chocolate icing on yep. top.
That's what a Boston cream is, but it just has pudding
yeah,
inside
it's
of it.
It's got like a big old mess in the middle.
It has a pornographic amount of Boston cream in it. It's disgusting.
2 weeks in a row, this guy.
It's fucking nasty,
talking
dude.
About porn?
Just like taking it to another level.
It's like I went to a different dimension where donuts are wieners and I'm just sucking on a big wiener donut. That's what that is.
There it is.
Good visual, Josh.
Speaking of food, so one of my staff picks this month is
time for Josh to shut up.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Segway
it's a slow cooker cookbook.
Ooh.
And the right in the fall, and the picture on the cover is of a beef stew.
Yeah.
And yesterday I made it, and when I took the lid off the crock pot, I was like, "Yo, that looks exactly like the picture
Dude,
on the cover
awesome.
Of
that's
my
so
cookbook."
Satisfying.
Yeah,
I've
man.
I've never been good at making food. I'm terrible at it, so I'm very envious of anyone who can make anything.
See, I'm not very good at like coming up with ideas to make food, but if you give me
that's
a cookbook. Now, a cookbook is just like just an instruction manual.
Yeah, but
like get all the things and then do what we tell
you. It's a problem mentally I have with like multitasking with food. Like I think very linearly with food in and out of your mouth, right? Like so when you have to like line things up we have to like line up two things and get them ready.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like that's why I did the slow cooker stew.
Yeah.
Because like it's everything. Like you got to cut up your potatoes, cut up your carrots, put it in the thing.
All right. As long as it's a straight line from A to B, we're good.
That's what I'm saying. I think you could probably pull this off.
All right.
Well, and it was good as hell.
I had barley beef stew today. It's fall.
Was it good?
It's fall time. I loved it. It was delicious.
Where'd you get it?
My
Dunkin' Donuts.
My grandmother made it.
Aww.
It was good.
Zane, what did you eat today?
Yeah, what name all the foods you ate?
What name all the food you ate?
I I ate some leftover Chinese dumplings.
That sounds less good as if they weren't leftover.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Did you heat them up?
I also had a scrambled egg and a piece of toast.
Wow. We're ending this thing on a big old zero.
Sorry, guys. Didn't mean
to. I was at work all day. I was at the barn, and so when I'm at the barn, all I do is eat, like.
At the barn during the Depression?
It's mostly just coffee.
I sold apples.
I don't eat
today.
At the barn. I
You scrambled
home.
An egg at the barn?
Nope.
Horse eggs?
How? Wait.
Nope.
Yeah, what? Are there chickens?
Yes, we do have chickens.
I've never seen a chicken.
We also have a garden.
Is there a Chinese restaurant at your barn?
Nope. That's not where I ate the dumplings. I wish
they said they were leftover. You brought them home from the barn. Duh.
Yeah, dang. I thought you did. Yeah, I got confused too.
It would be awesome if there was a Chinese restaurant at work.
The goose that laid the golden dumpling. The goose just shits out a dumpling and
this is going swimmingly once again.
Let's wrap it up.
Why not?
This is why I never know what we do during this segment because nobody ever knows.
We talked about donuts. That's what we did.
Well, we usually ask for like. If you have any suggestions of things that you, like authors you binge read.
There you go.
How does our audience feel about binging?
On anything.
On anything.
Donuts.
Donuts.
Television.
Alcohol.
Drugs.
Quentin Tarantino movies.
Eating.
Books. Podcasts.
That's the thing people do. I know that.
Maybe somebody will binge listen to Cracking the Spine.
Hopefully. They have 39 whole episodes.
That's right.
Lucky them. Don't listen to the first 7. I wasn't on them.
I think I showed up around like 12.
Listen to the first 7. I was on them.
I wasn't here for like the first like 15 of them.
And I had 2 really good authors in the first 7.
Yeah, but then you got us.
Yeah, you got us.
Now the authors stay away.
They learned their lesson right good.
All right.
From Doylestown, where everything is perfect.
That's what they think. That's what they'll tell you.
So, just wrap it up.
Thanks for listening.
Best show ever.